You've all been so nice and friendly so far, so hold that thought. Keep that close to your hearts. Okay, so I've been asked to talk about the hospital district. Lauren Stevens actually needs to get quite a bit of credit for the work that's been done so far on that, because she took that project as directed by the association board to investigate and to get that going. She unfortunately is not here, so unfortunately for me, she's not here. But I just want to acknowledge that. So let me talk about a few things. Some of this I will repeat. Bob said it, Peggy said it, but some of these figures will come up. They've actually laid a good portion of the groundwork for our rationale behind feeling that a hospital district was going to be necessary for our clinic. So during this whole partnership search, we have found in early conversations and repeated conversations that whatever relationship we had going forward, there was going to have to be an understanding that there would be risk sharing, meaning none of the potential or prospective partners were interested in getting into a relationship that they would cover our losses. They were going to be 100% responsible for covering our losses. So that was the first consideration, and then we started kind of estimating that when we were looking at the change in potential structure from affiliating with a small 50-bed or less hospital and having the rural clinic designation, we would have that enhanced reimbursement. So that was good, but there aren't too many places that have less than 50 beds that were able to affiliate with us and subsequently interested in affiliating with us. And so we're potentially looking at that reimbursement falling from $200 to around $80. So we're kind of earmarking some potential shortfalls that would be annual. That's kind of who we are in terms of our patient mix and things like that. So that's somewhere between $300,000 to $400,000. We were looking at just in terms of how the reimbursements are changing from the number of people that walk through the door to the quality of the outcome in the end, the same reimbursement rates, that we've been enjoying have the potential for decreasing, because some of that money, especially if it's kind of being distributed to the states as a block grant, they're going to divert some of the money away from those per patient doctor visits to physical therapy, mental health therapy, housing, some of the things that are going to help support those people become to be successful or have positive outcomes. So we kind of envisioned, even if we had stayed with Island Hospital, that we would be not getting as much reimbursements coming into the clinic. Other costs that we've looked at, the emergency medical records is a big one, and it does change whether we were staying with Island Hospital or moving on to another structure. The woman that was interesting talking to this gal who was a consultant and working with independent clinics or becoming independent and things like that, and she asked us what our medical record system was, and we said it was Meditech. And there was kind of this pause, and she's like, well, yeah, that's kind of on one of the lower shelves. And she didn't say it was really bad. She just said, yeah, basically that's going to have to change. So that was kind of an eye-opener. If we go independent, if that becomes the route we take, then there really is no risk sharing. We are then going to be accepting 100% of the risk. So we've got a bunch of these different, pretty significant big figures floating out there, whether we go with a partner in a small hospital, a partner without a small hospital, or we go independent. We're looking at transitionally several hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think she estimated if we went independent, we can't put that on the clinic. The clinic is maxed out. They're doing a beautiful job taking care of us, but going independent and making a transfer of all those medical records will require a project manager, someone that's going to actually come in, work on that, and also when we go independent, we have to reestablish relationships with all the insurance companies. Right now we enjoy that. That's all set up through Island Hospital, but when we go on our own, there's a lot of work to get done so everybody gets their coverage. And so we'll be looking at bringing on someone for a substantial amount of money, probably for a year and a half to get that done. So anyway, that's the long and short of it, to say that it's going to be expensive, whatever comes down our way. And the clinic has been not a huge moneymaker. For the most part, we're a break-even, and we throw out maybe, would you say, like $70,000 to $100,000 a year? It's hard to, yeah, something like that. Roughly, that's what we've been kind of giving over to Island Hospital. So that doesn't give much margin of error, and especially with the likelihood of not having that high reimbursement rate, that's going to disappear pretty quickly. So we decided, this group actually, back in November, started having conversations about the potential or the possibility of having a public hospital district developed for Lopez. So started with that, and we took that to the board, and they decided in December at a board meeting that that was the route we were going to take. This board, as it's set up to be developed when it goes to the ballot, and if it's positively supported by this community, will be a five-person board of directors or board of commissioners, and that will be the entity that we all go to help them decide how we're going to budget, what our budget is. There'll be a public, they're managed by the Public Meetings Act. They're a government organization, so there'll be room for input from all of us on investigating how their budget is set, what's in the budget, which in the long run or the short run will determine what the actual levy amount is for our community. I'll talk about the levy figure in just a second. I want to acknowledge that there was some concern about the short time frame for this, that this putting this on the April ballot seemed very quick, not enough time for public input, and we appreciated all of that, and we gave that some pretty serious consideration. I would reference you to we gave you two timelines that are a handout, and some of you may have gotten them. One of them's kind of how the hospital district timeline flowed out in the partner search. So when we started looking at seriously developing this hospital district, it became clear in the preliminary investigations, if we wait until August or November and took the summer and the spring to discuss it with community, get people on board about what we were doing, then the funding for that, if it was successful, would not become available to us until 2019. So starting from the termination of the contract with Island Hospital at the end of June, we would have approximately 18 months where there would be no funding coming in to help cover or supplement the shortfalls that we're anticipating. So we didn't like that idea. And we decided it was better to go with the shorter calendar if we could make it, and hopefully work with the community, talk with the community between the time we got it on the ballot in February to the time you are asked to actually decide whether you support it or not, to answer your questions, explain the rationale, and kind of keep you abreast of how things are developing. So if we're successful in April, we will start receiving funding through the taxes in 2018, leaving only a six-month potential period for coverage of any shortfall. People have asked about, why do we do this? Why are we doing this? Why don't we just, Catherine Washburn, I give money to them. You guys have all this money, so why aren't we using that money? And I will say we are going to use that money, because we have had in discussions a year or two ago with the association, as we were initially planning a potential expansion of the clinic, we were trying to determine how much money we actually had available for that. And we knew that some of that funding was there in case something bad happened. And so we tried to define what that bad thing might be, giving kind of a scenario like this, coincidentally. And we came up with a round figure of about $700,000 to $800,000 is what we would likely need if something happened and Island Hospital went away. We could try to keep the clinic going until we got established, got the records transferred, whatever it would take. We thought we should set aside at least that much money to help shore up that shortfall. So that's kind of what we have sitting there to do for the community. We have a little bit over $1 million would be remaining for that. That was earmarked for the potential expansion of the clinic. It's still earmarked for facility improvement and maintenance and upgrading. We could use it all for operations. If it went for operations, we would be through that lickety-split, and then we'd be back here having this meeting again. So that was our rationale for moving forward quickly and trying to get it on so we would minimize the impact on the Washburn funds so that we could maintain those for what they were intended for, but acknowledging part of the intention of those funds was to be prepared for an eventuality such as we face today. So that's that. So the ballot, the language on the ballot right now is going to be silent to the levy, meaning it's not going to say we're asking for 47 cents on the dollar or 25 cents on the dollar. And the reason for that, I hope, has kind of been outlined already. We don't know what budget exactly we're looking at right now. It's depending on whether who we partner with or who we don't partner with. Those figures could change drastically. By the time this ballot measure has to be finalized, which I believe is February 24th, we won't have those answers. But our intention is that before this commission, if it's created, they have to come up with a budget that we submit. I believe it's sometime in October, and it might be due November 1st. I'm not sure exactly of the dates. But by that time, we will be on a path. We will either have selected our own path of independence because we haven't been accepted or we haven't gotten a go-ahead from somebody, or we might we're hoping by the end of this month, mid-February at the latest, we'll have a definitive on this last partner. If that partner is not at the table by February 15th, the intent of this group is to recommend to our board that we just go ahead with independence and move forward. So by the time the commission is doing any budgetary work, they'll know what the structure is that they're working with, and they'll have a better idea of what they can ask for in terms of the levy. We could have asked for a little amount, or an amount that we didn't spend much time trying to figure out what would the community be willing to pay for, and ask for that amount. Because we don't really want to make you happy, but we don't want to make you happy at the cost of not giving the commission enough flexibility to actually meet the situation that they're going to be presented with. Does that make sense? So we don't have enough information ourselves personally to make that guess. It would be strictly a guess, and if it falls short of what they need, then we're really stuck not knowing what to do. So that's the rationale with that. Let's see. We did revamp some of the figures that went out in an earlier handout, and so I want to acknowledge that. And first, I want to acknowledge that we never go through this and we give out these comparisons of what it would mean if your house is worth this much or how blah blah blah, and it's $200, it's $175, it's $400. We give those figures as an example and just to kind of give you something to know, but we don't, no one on this committee feels like these are insignificant dollars. We know that we're not here to figure out whether it's an easy figure for some people, but we certainly acknowledge that any additional tax is a serious thing. We take it very seriously, and the intent is to have this commission develop a budget that's true and it's honest and it's clear, and from whatever that budget figure is, the levy amount that comes out will be what we truly need. I'll hesitate to do it because it's kind of complicated, but Lauren might be able to do it better. One of the things we had to be very conscious of, it's easy to drop your levy amount from one year to the next. There's no restriction really on dropping it, asking for less money. But between your first and second, possibly your third year, you develop a certain threshold, and it's harder to go up. If we were to say, we need 50 cents on the dollar, and then later we come on the, 50 cents on the $1,000, and then we come back and find out the next year 50 cents on $1,000. If we came back later and realized that that was not what we needed, it's very difficult. You're limited by a 1% raise every year unless you go back, I believe, to the voters and ask for that. We anticipate the first year, 2 years of expenses to be significant. The transitional costs alone of that medical records is estimated to be $300,000 or $400,000. So our sense is that the final figure that we ask for will be not necessarily the highest we can request, but it will be a higher figure than likely it will be once we get into the third and fourth year and we're behind some of those transitional expenses and we have a better idea of what we're doing. But our goal was not to cut off our nose to spite our face just to get approval, because we're not asking for much money. It doesn't hurt too much. We want to leave it open to the commission and that board to be able to make that decision. So anyway, we did update the figures for the 2016 era. A median home in the San Juans was estimated to be $450,000. So if we were to ask for 35 cents on the thousand, it would be approximately $160 a year that you would be paying towards having a clinic. If the reimbursement or the partnership or structure that we end up using requires something higher, like 50 cents per thousand, that would result in $225 if your home is valued at $450,000. So the worst case scenario that we can paint for you today is that if we asked for the $75 per 1,000 on a $450,000 home, that would be $340 per year. So one of the things that we need to keep in mind, we have this hospital district as created, its primary goal right now for us is to keep the doors of our clinic open. It does allow, hospital districts are there to help provide medical services, and medical services, it's not a super broad area, but it does allow us to also support our pharmacy. It would help us potentially support hospice. It potentially can help us support the Hamlet. So there's some other Hamlet House. There are other organizations on the island that provide medical services that this hospital district could, in the future, as the budgeting process goes, could potentially provide assistance to them. So it's while our focus is on the clinic in the short term and making sure that gets taken care of, this district has a little broader reach and can support a broader base of healthcare on this island in the future. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. Let's see. To kind of put some of this, I think I've talked enough about it. You understand what we're trying to do is to keep the clinic open. But the cost of the measure could vary widely. But here is what I would ask you to kind of keep in mind. If the worst case scenario, which we're not really open to considering at this point, but the worst case scenario is not having a clinic here. From a care perspective, that's not good, because our clinic provides a lot of urgent care. A lot of our appointments kind of get pushed back because friends or neighbors have come in an emergency and they're being taken care of. So we have that luxury of having a clinic that provides both urgent care and then just our day-to-day care, you know, wellness checks, regular checks, you've got a cold, the kids need physicals, etc. Well, all that takes on a different perspective if there's a necessity for us to always go off island to get that kind of care done. And that, for some, you could add up the cost of travel, the cost of ferry time. For more importantly, for a broad section of our community, there's loss of work time if they're having to go off island for clinics. And now that we have the reservation system, that adds a whole new complication to how we can get off the island. We just can't necessarily get back if we're going over for those appointments. So that's just a different financial perspective that I'm just going to throw out there. And I think that is all I wanted to say. Oh, okay, so are there any questions about that? Because I was going to talk a bit about the commission itself, the members of that board, and people have some questions about who gets on that board or how to get on that. But are there any questions related to what I just said?
Craig Searles, and the question that I would have is, what would you anticipate the role of the Catherine Washburn Foundation being relative to a public hospital district that we would set up?
Yeah, we're learning that too. The understanding that we have, at least the last definitive fairly definitive statement, I think, that Deborah Wiggs made the other day, is that she would foresee the Washburn Association remaining in existence and retaining ownership of the facility and the property, and that we would enter, that association would enter into contractual relations with the district. Is that how you would understand that to be so far? I think that's fine.
The role would revert to what we thought we were signed up to do.
We have one here.
It's TJ Anderson again. Two questions. Have the possibility of grants from wherever been looked into for the transitional costs? And secondly, you said that funding, that the median home price in the county was 400 and some thousand. As this is a Lopez-only hospital zone, whatever, I can't remember the term, would we not want to use Lopez property values only in terms of coming up with an assessment rate? Or do we use the whole county?
Well, you'll use your low, it'll be on your assessed value of your home. So that's just an average number, the 450, but if it'll be very specific to the actual assessed value of everyone's individual home. So does that answer the question? On Lopez, your home, my home on Lopez, if it's worth $100,000, that's what the levy will be applied against. In terms of grants, it was interesting. I thought you were going to ask about operations. There aren't very many. There's no money out there to operate a clinic. No one's underwrite. Very few grant places underwrite operations anyway. They're all about kind of projects, pilot projects or capital whatevers. But we don't have much information on grants per se, but there is a program that's been in put in place now. I think it runs to 2020, Caravan, who they are heavily funded to come into clinics or facilities and help with the training and the transition from not so much from, you know, being owned by one place and becoming independent, but that transition from a per person reimbursement model to a outcome-based model. There's been quite a bit of money made available. It's free to whoever signs up for it. It's voluntary. That could be a real asset for us in terms of making that transition, in terms of just how we're approaching medicine and how we're being reimbursed for it. So we are kind of excited about that potential for us.
Hi, Phil Page.
I'm sorry. I just really quick additional comment. When we were a few months ago looking at the expansion of the clinic, we looked into grants pretty extensively, and there's much less than you might think. We were disappointed, so I'll just throw that in there.
I was going to, first of all, say thank you to the board and all the work that you've been doing, but I would encourage you to also continue looking at more of the partnership type of things. I know that there have been, I'm sure grants are drying up as we speak, but there have been grants available for partnering, like with the fire district, for rural paramedic units to do preventative care, that sort of thing. I would encourage you to keep working with that. But the question that I've got is on establishing the funding. I know that in Washington there are junior and senior taxing districts, and fire districts and cemetery districts, and all those things fall into that. Have you, the limits on each of these types of districts adds up to more than the limit overall, and have you looked at the possibility of causing compression that would eat in the authorization of any of the other districts that would be junior to the hospital district?
Yes, and we won't, according to the county. We were in touch with the county, and they went through that, did an assessment, and we're not at risk, even at the top amount of the levy that we would be empowered to ask for. It won't require any other organization or district to lower the amount that they receive. We're well, as a, I don't know whether it's the island, were well below that threshold. That was one of the first things we checked so that we, you know, out of respect for everybody else that's trying to do the best they can for Lopez. So that's a good, great, I appreciate that question.
Hi, my name's Dan Post. I have a concern and then a question. My concern is in April when we vote yes for the for this district, we have to give you a blank check that we don't know what it is. But anyway, my question is property tax. I hate property tax. It's not fair. It's I did a price comparison between my property and a friend of mine who lives down on the south end named Paul Allen. On a piece of property he owns and I, we paid exactly the same tax, but his property is worth five times mine. Property tax isn't fair, and so when you say that the cost comparison or your, you should say the tax value, which isn't the same as the appraised value, because a lot of people pay a lot less. So tax isn't fair for everybody. And what about the people who don't live on Lopez that have to pay this tax also? Thank you.
Oh, just a minute. Rip has a first.
I actually got the impression he kind of answered it himself, but I understand what you're saying. We don't set the tax structure, but I understand what you're saying, and you're right. Different people have different tax value for taxes versus appraised value, I suppose. We're talking more about assessed value, I think, but I appreciate your statement of tax being not necessarily equitably distributed.
I'm glad I got before Pat. I'm sure he's got some questions. Well, first, I have a lot of questions which I'm not allowed. Hmm? Oh, I'm Rip Van Camp. Still, I take from this conversation, which by the way has been very informative, and thank you, is that the elephant in the room, or several elephants, have to do with complexity and your sense of time of dealing with these issues and the difficulty that has for everybody. I know about that, and I think that's important in the figuring and the thinking. But also, I would say that we're going to go to the polls and vote on something in April that has no budget really yet because we're waiting for a commission to do it. That's very difficult to understand because when you think of 800,000 approximately, that's a yearly operation. That's a commitment of this community with all the taxes and other things we get for a continuing period of time. So I understand that difficulty, but I want to make the comment that it's unfortunate that we're going to set in place a program without knowing its cost. And I know you know that, and I'm not at all criticizing. I'm saying that's what makes it difficult. Now, that said, I've been listening to all of you, and it's quite clear, along with Peggy, that you've done an outstanding job. And I'd say that all of us have basically enjoyed quality health. Bob, I didn't know it was 20 years. Congratulations. But I've been seeing you for 20 years. You look the same, by the way. So. I'd like to ask if this group would stand and applaud this group for the work they've done. Thank you very much. That wasn't supposed to be a conclusion because you have more to go, I know, but I wanted to say it now because people might leave or what have you. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave you some of my questions separately. There's many, and I was told I only had one, and I really didn't have a question. I made a couple
comments. Your 2 minutes is up, Rip.
Thank you.
I'm Pat Rowe. I've had some experience with this organization right from the very start, and it's interesting to see how it's proceeding today. Question I have is, I was of the understanding that forming a hospital district would take over the functions that CMA is doing right now. Can you explain to me what the advantage is of leaving it as a separate organization?
We were under the understanding initially that it might not be possible for the association to hold on to the facilities and the building, but I think there's some indication that if it goes to the taxing district, there has to be a fair market value rent, you know, charge for leasing the property or use of the property. So if we were in a partnership with someone, we pay Island Hospital $300 a month for that. Excuse me, they pay us $300 a month for that facility. If we go into partnership with another organization, a hospital district or hospital or some other structure, with the taxing district owning the building, they wouldn't be able to give that charge that nominal fee. They would have to be charging a per square foot rent that's comparable to what other facilities would be getting. And the reason it's worked for us with Island Hospital, they get it for $300, is if we charge them $3,000, they were just going to put it against our bottom line, and then our expenses go up. So for us and the association that you helped create, I believe it would work in our favor if the Catherine Washburn group hangs on to the facility, and that gives just a little more flexibility in what the actual expense charge back to the clinic might be.
Well, I just finished along with some other folks down on the south end of the island and turning over our water company to a water district. And we simply deeded it over without maintaining the existing water company organization. I can't believe that you're going to be more efficient by having another organization involved in this.
Peggy has a follow-up for that.
One reason that you might want to maintain it is because you can continue to fundraise if you're the Catherine Washburn, and it's the public health district doesn't have that opportunity to do fundraising. So for that reason alone, even if the association changed in many respects, it might be advantageous to keep that. Just like with the dump, you know, there's a fundraising arm and a district arm. So there's $800,000 a year is the maximum, right? That can be with a 1% increase, you know. If you wanted to go to a new electronic medical record sometime in the future or any kind of service or expansion of services, you might need to actually do fundraising for that or get grants for that.
We have a question over here.
Hi, Dennis Ryan. I'm glad Rip had us all applaud the work you're doing because it's kind of amazing, and it makes me... I mean, apparently there are clinics like ours across the country that are probably sitting in rooms like this dealing with the same issue. I won't go into what that might mean. But the outcome-based nomenclature is an attractive one for this district to use. I mean, a concern about having a taxing district and having a kitty that comes out of the taxing district is an attractive asset for a partner. I presume that's why we're doing this. I would like, although you're not the taxing district board, so you know, saying it to you isn't going to matter, but somehow that amount, the fact that we have this asset, this island, if it does agree to tax itself in order to have this, It wants, I would at least want, some assurance that it's not an open-ended deal. That if we have this asset that we've collected and we partner with someone, that we'd want the outcomes of that partnership to be, you know, quality-based, not just an open-ended, well, yeah, we get $800,000, what do you want to do with it? I mean, it's a, in this uncertainty about what's the amount and all that, having some strictures on, you know, how that money can be spent, on what measures are we going to use about spending it, would be helpful to a voter. The other thing I'd point out...
Countdown here.
Almost out of time?
Yeah.
But I would point out that the quality of health care that's within this geographic area is related to the taxes that we're being asked to pay. And it's, you know, we can argue against paying taxes, or we can say, well, you know, look, you know, we're getting what, you know, excited about because what, that's why we're here, out of it. So the argument about putting a tax initiative out there has to be related to look at what you're getting, and it's hard.
Listening to Rip's question about a budget, and I've heard those kinds of questions from Rip before about budget.
Susan, can I just grab you just a minute? We have a follow-up here to that quick. Sorry.
I just wanted to say that, pertinent to Dennis's question, that if you go to the San Juan Public Health District and look at their minutes, they actually do have quite a few things that they require of Peace Health to provide, and including they provide a whole community needs assessment every 2 to 3 years that is required actually by the Affordable Care Act, and they map their budgets and things to that. So one of the benefits of a public health district is that you have a lot more accountability for those kinds of things and the opportunity for the public to see them, and I really recommend that you go over there and take a look at it. It's very interesting.
Thank you. Okay, Susan, thank you for waiting.
Okay, I'm looking at the question about budget estimate as being a factor in selling this on the ballot. And it seems to me that playing with what you've told us plus what's been in the paper, that there is enough information there to realize that our expenses or our budget's basically going to be current cost with whatever happens based on running our current system, plus the management costs that we're going to have to add, you know, plus the transition costs, which you've spoken to, you know, most if not all of these figures, with the unknown being the variable incomes that might be available to us. And I'm satisfied, you know, that I get the picture because I can see that I'm coming out ahead on this vis-a-vis losing the clinic, first financially, but then moving on to anxiety reduction, which is worth quite a bit to me. However, it does seem to me that for the general group, it would be appropriate to kind of pull these facts together and have them available before the election so that people can see basically why we're talking about 700, 800,000, and rather than having to piece it together ourselves. Just that. Thank you.
I might say that this is not our last meeting. We will be having another forum, probably within the month, certainly before the time that you vote in April. And by then, hopefully, we'll have some of these budgetary figures more available to us all. Okay. You know, the other thing I might mention, I appreciate so much your thanking the CWMA board and my thanking Peggy and the clinic staff, which has been fantastic with throughout all this anxiety. But you know, there are a couple people important players that aren't here today, Lauren Stevens, who's done a ton of work on drawing on up this public hospital district and pushing it forward, wouldn't have happened without her. And also Marty Clark, who is sad that she couldn't be here today because of previous commitment to travel plans. Both are missing this meeting, but we'll be at the next one. So stay tuned.
We have another question over here. Or did you want to follow up, Krista?
Well, just before we lose any more people, because I saw Tom Ruggles walk out, and that's not a good thing. So I would just like to talk briefly about what we're looking for in a commissioner for this new board, should it be established. So we'll entertain other questions maybe after that's done, but it just in case some of you really great people want to leave early, I want you to know how you can sign up to do this work. So here's the deal on the commission. I got to take my glass off. So these commissioners, I think it's kind of a hysterical thing, but if we're successful and you vote to support this measure on the ballot in April, not only do we create a district that day, but you will also be voting on the people who are going to direct that district. So we are looking for 5 people. We established the requirement or the commission size to be 5 because we felt that gave the greatest flexibility without encumbering too many people in the pot. But great flexibility for that group of individuals to actually do planning, break into small groups, investigate important topics. A board of 3 is difficult because 2 of you makes a meeting, and this would be governed by Public Meetings Act. So we're looking for a commission of 5 people. Their names will be on the ballot at the same time that you vote for the measure of having the district. Anyone who is registered to vote on Lopez Island is eligible to run. The skills that we're going to be looking for in candidates long term, but particularly during the first couple of years, will be, they don't have to have all these things, but if we can put together a panel that brings all of these things together, it would be great. Budgeting, obviously, accounting, negotiating, and decision making. This is a pretty big commitment to anyone who has served on boards here in the island. Sometimes you have 2 years, it's 3 years, it's 4 years. This is a 6-year commitment for any hospital district board. But lest that make you pause, there are some escape routes on this because it's a 5-person board and they can't have everybody elected at the same year every 5-6 years. And so they move into what I think is a pretty creative, although maybe punitive for some, process. How they work out, they stagger the terms. And so the 2 people with the highest number of votes will serve the 6-year term. The next 2 people with the next 2 highest levels of votes, or however you want to word it, would serve 4 years. And the individual with the fewest number of votes will serve a 2-year term. So then it'll go into it. Every 2 years, there'll be a circulation. There'll be someone, 1 or 2 people will be up for re-election. So have your friends vote for you, but don't have too many of your friends vote for you. And you can, you can be done in 2 years. So here's the tricky thing about the filing, because it's important to know this. Part of this timeline with this measure, we had to have it, the language and everything, and the resolution, I guess, had to be approved and ready to go by February 24th, I believe that's the date, by statute, to get it on the ballot, through the system, get the pro and con statements, all that stuff done. So we backed up from there, and that's how a lot of this other calendar came into being, and we had to have the petitions, the signatures signed and delivered to the county by the 9th. Because our council, they like to touch things 3 times. They like to have an introduction, kind of a follow-up, and then a final decision-making process. So to do that, we had to be on their meeting on January 10th as the first contact. We have another meeting on the 24th, which is our second contact, And then they're all coming here on the 10th of February for the public hearing, which is the legal requirement that they have, and they're coming here to hold it on Lopez, which is great. If they approve that measure to go on the ballot, the elections office is opening up a filing period from February 13th to the 17th. That's the first window of opportunity, and hopefully we will have more than five people applying to serve on that committee so that we'll have some good choices going into the election. If we don't have a contingent of five, that allows them some time to reopen that filing period again, but I don't have the dates for that exactly. I can walk you through this. You can easily file online when that opens. You go to the county page under government and the elections office tabs, and you will find candidate filing online listed there. So what is the work of the commission? The new commissioners will set up the public hospital district and create a budget that will be submitted to San Juan County. It's a lot of work. These first couple of years are going to be huge in terms of what has to get done, but the beauty is there's a statewide organization called the Association of Washington Public Hospital Districts, which is set up to do work with commissioners and to do work with new hospital districts. They have a whole resource packet of the appropriate policies, the bylaws, a lot of that stuff is available as a starting point and can be revised and edited to suit our particular needs. So then during the first year, there will be a lot of work for the commission to do, but once the district's established and has a working budget, the workload will decrease. It's important to note that this commission will be governed by the open public meetings laws, and so those requirements will be in play for any meeting that they hold, just like school district, council, any other legal organizations like that on Lopez. So I really encourage you, if you feel like it sounds like a daunting task for you, but you know a friend who'd be really good for the job, then I would get in touch with that really good friend. It'll be important that we get quality people, and you want to have the people on there that are going to understand and address the concerns we all have, especially this open-ended blank check that we're approving, hopefully, in April, that the people that get on that commission understand what they've been empowered to do and also understand the importance of really making that budget one that's needed, necessary, and will allow us to get done what needs to be done without overburdening the Lopez community. So I just really encourage any and all of you to consider this, or seriously, if you do know someone that's got a skill set, you think, wow, they would really be good at this, I would encourage you to contact them, and if they have questions about it, they seem semi-interested, have them get in touch with one of us, and we'd be glad to talk to them and answer questions.
Krista, would you reiterate the skill set that seems to be demanded by the first board?
Courage, big heart, bravery. No, that was something. That's selling it, that's right. If you want a good time, budgeting would be the first thing. Budgeting, accounting, negotiating, and decision making.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else before we go to questions?
Charlie just asked me if there was any limit to the number of people that can file. I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
You do it per position, though. There'll be five positions. They'll be numbered. They're all at large. We're not, the boundaries for this hospital district are Lopez, South Lopez, North Lopez, and rather than try to assign people to a specific district, you know, we're just happy if we can get five competent and committed people to serve on the commission. That would be great.
Okay, we had a question over here.
It really wasn't a question. We did provide a basket over there for people to make comments and questions. Basically, what was written here is something that I think has already been stated, but I wanted to honor their effort, and that is not all property owners are alike. Some of us can't afford any more taxes.
Thank you. Yes, we have a question up here.
Chris Bankson, and I know nothing. I have a question. The hospital district, the definition of a hospital district is just to get revenue via taxes, is that correct?
I can give you the definition that I have. Public hospital districts are community-created government entities authorized by state law to deliver health services, including but not limited to acute hospital care, to district residents and others in the district service areas.
So beyond just raising money, they're responsible for setting the health care parameters for a community.
Okay. And how does becoming a hospital district make us favorable for a partner?
All the partners that we were in discussion with, and not only partners, but just people in various agencies who were trying to guide us through this process, they're all looking for, in a nice way, sustainability, the sustainability for this clinic. They basically don't want to lose any money on the operations that come out of these small clinics. And they want to know that there's some other source of funding besides them just underwriting the losses. We need to have, we're the hospital district for a lot of partners would be almost a necessity to show that in those times of shortfall, it's not going to fall to the hospital or the association to maintain us, that we have a public and community commitment to help sustain the clinic.
Yes, question here.
Thank you. My name's Julie Van Camp. If we approve this district, does that mean we can not have an independent clinic if that became our choice?
No. We can be independent and still be part of a hospital district.
San Olson, the negotiations that would be required to find an adequate partner, where would that responsibility fall relative to the commissioners or to the CWMA?
Good question.
It depends how fast the process goes. I think I can say at this point, if we were fortunate enough to get into a position the next week or so to start sitting down at the table with a viable partner, this group, the CWMA, would put representatives in that negotiating team to start that contract discussion. Ideally, we would also like to probably try to include, if we had an idea of any key individuals that were willing to serve on that commission once it was placed, we'd like to involve them in that process in some way too, so that they're kind of coming along through that negotiation process. And as soon as they're seated, I don't know what the date is of the election, I should know that, April 20-something, I think. It's later in April. Once the commissioners are elected, then they would immediately be brought into that process. But that's, again, it's another timing thing that we're trying. We won't hold negotiations until we have a seated commission, but we would ideally like to know of interested parties and see if there is a way that we could integrate them into any negotiation process that gets started before they're placed.
I think I want to say that through a couple of these questions, what I'm getting is there's some concern, you know, about community trust between CD, whatever, MA, and a government entity, and some idea that the values of one organization will be transferred or shared with the other organization. That's just a sense I'm getting from some of these questions.
That's why I think it's really important that we're out looking for people to would be willing, our friends and neighbors, the people who live on Lopez, identifying who those people are, because you know their character, their values, what's important to them, and we can, if we're deliberate about it and proactive about it, we could essentially have a number of choices of well-placed people who will be able to carry those thoughts and missions and desires forward that are being expressed here today. The people that we're electing, they're not people from San Juan or Orcas or Anacortes. We're going to be electing Lopezians, and so hopefully they'll carry with them the concerns that you're all expressing.
Yes.
There are...
name, please.
Bob Hall. One of the things that I'm feeling here with this group is that I would like to see, hear, from three or four other public hospital districts that have been established. And I would like to know how they did it, what success they've had since then, or are there also public hospital districts that have been started and how did they fail? I just would sure like to hear more about the public hospital districts in other locations other than just what I'm hearing about the Lopez Hospital District.
That's a good question. We don't have any on our list that were started up and failed. I'm not sure how we will about finding that information. We are trying to get in touch with, through the Association of Hospital Districts. They've been giving us resources of different small counties who have either an existing similar structure or who are of a different structure that could potentially be our structure. We have gotten a list of those, and we've been trying to start getting in touch with them to answer some of those questions. I don't know of any that are on there that got started and failed, though. I don't know about that.
The legal firm that we retain helped San Juan establish theirs, so we could probably get some information from them.
There's quite a bit of history there. It's available.
Yep.
So, do we have anyone else? Just since you've asked two questions, anyone else up here ready? Okay, go ahead.
Just out of curiosity, if a partnership is arranged, what kind of a time term would we be looking at in partnership? Are we looking at a 5-year term or a 10-year term? Do we come back a year from now? So just the length of term.
So assuming that we were able to find a hospital group that wanted us, there's a couple of things that we talked about that we'd certainly want to have in the contract. And whoever we go with, we're going to be required to adopt their EMR. And that's a lot of money. So having somebody like that require that we spend $300,000-$400,000 to convert, and then they leave the next year, you know, that's obviously not acceptable. So we talked about a minimum of a 3-year commitment and amortization of that cost, the EMR. So if they ducked out early, they'd have to refund us for that. But a minimum of 3 years.
And DMR is?
Oh, I'm sorry, electronic medical record, the computer. The computer, this software system. Huge potential outlay. And I hope we're faced with that problem. I'm not convinced at all that we will be, that anybody's going to be interested in taking on the clinic, but we'll see. But not hospitals. There's other options, as we talked about, management service companies. Yeah.
Question here.
Robert Harrison. And I was just wondering, is this a simple majority to create the district, or to hit 60% of the vote, or how does that work?
I believe it's a simple majority.
Well, I want to remind, you got a question, just before we get to that, I do want to remind you that if you don't want to speak up now with your questions, that there is pencil and paper over there for you to write those, make sure you leave contact information so we can get back to you for answers with that. And if there are a lot of questions around the same topic, they will probably post that in a more public way, like on the paper or a white paper.
We're also hoping to, it's being taped, and the plan is to have that, I don't know how many of you attended the San Juan Islands app meeting that we had at the Woodman Hall last spring, and we taped that, and it was placed on YouTube in 3 different sections. We're working with Ann Palmer, our web person, to put the recording on the website so that hopefully it will be accessible there for people that you know that weren't able to come tonight and are interested in, or today, starting to be tonight, and that they might want to hear that. So that whole taped, this whole taped meeting should be available on there pretty soon.
Okay, we have another comment here.
There's both a comment and a question. I'm extremely concerned about my property taxes being raised. I can't be the only senior on the island whose taxes are very high already, but are living solely on Social Security. I will have to vote no in April. I can't sell my property for even half of what it's assessed at, and I can't sell it at all as my cabin's a teardown. I would like to know how many people use the clinic services, the number per year, and how many property owners these are that will be funding this, and how many of those are seniors on Social Security who are the ones who can least afford to pay more taxes. So I will keep this for us to follow up.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to those questions.
Okay.
We'll get back to that person.
All right, Krista, did you have another comment you wanted to make?
What did you say, Jan? Do you have something you'd like to share with the group? Okay, great. I did, if I can find this. It's kind of redundant, but I think it's kind of, for me, it's important because there are days, I served on the school board for almost 12 years, and sometimes that was my first experience with glacial process, that things take a long time. But we don't have a long time in this process, and so I would just like to say, kind of review this, that since mid-September when we got the news that our contract was being terminated, we have pursued partnerships with 7 organizations, created a case packet to share information for review. We established and prioritized important criteria for evaluation. We continued conversations with interested organizations. We held conference calls, sites visits. We reviewed financial information. We researched the current landscape in healthcare. We evaluated the cost-benefit of various possible structures for the clinic and looked into the crystal ball for information on the future. We've pursued independent operation of the clinic, working with attorneys, consultants, government agencies to gather information on similar situations in other rural areas, sources for management services, reviewing the benefit of obtaining that rural health clinic certification, identifying areas of increased expenses and how to mitigate them, to determine the pathway that might best address the uncertainties that lay ahead in healthcare nationally and on Lopez. We pursued financial stability for the clinic by working to put a measure on the ballot to create a public health hospital district for Lopez, working with attorneys to draft the petition, collecting the signatures, working with the county to dovetail our efforts into a tight schedule set by state regulations and operational policies of the council, meeting with groups and organizations on Lopez to share the information and to answer the questions. A lot of work has been done since September 15th. Including celebrating Christmas and the holidays with our friends and family. And a lot of people did that and made it a little bit challenging. So at all times, the Lopez community and its welfare has been our primary concern. We're not as far along as we would like to have been, but we will continue the work. I want to thank the CWMA board for their willingness to take on such a daunting and critical task. And most importantly, I'd like to thank Peggy Means, really, this lady. Yeah, I just can't overemphasize, like, I didn't know diddly-do about what to do. If I had gotten this call and this woman wasn't around, I'm not sure what we would have done. Because of her experience and insight and patience, really, in bringing us all kind of on board and up to speed on what the challenges were and, more importantly, what the options were, we would have barely left the starting block at this time. So really, this community is indebted to her for the work that she's done. So we're not done. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there is that. But we've done the best we can, and we're committed to do the work until it's done. So we could use your support in supporting the ballot in April, if you're so inclined. We're happy to come and talk more about that. If there are still questions and concerns, we're happy to come to organizational meetings that you might belong, different groups you might belong to that like to hear more about it. We're just happy to do that. Whatever it takes to let you feel at ease with the process. Our commitment is to have a clinic and have the clinic open on Lopez. So any support you can give us in that would be great.
Lori Harrison.
And Lori, because she's taught us you can't say everything you feel. You really have to be careful what you're saying. She's taught us. No, she's really, she has kept, not that we're not transparent, but she has kept the focus of transparency and clarity in front of us all the time in terms of what we're doing and what we're saying and how we could best say it so that it makes sense to you. It answers questions maybe before you've asked them, but she has been a real asset. We have not stumbled as often as we could have with having her around. So, yeah, thank you for that.
I tell people if you want something from Lopez, just tell them it can't be done. So let's prove that point again. I want to thank everybody for coming. It's been a great meeting, and we're finished now.